Well, we've all been feeling the pain of rising costs with price hikes in the supermarket, in our energy bills and at the petrol pump. It really can pile on the pressures on families. But what about younger Australians who are either going it alone? Maybe it's because they had conflict in their family or other troubles. In fact, a recent report by Mission Australia reveals that as many as 1 in 20 young people experienced homelessness during the pandemic. That's up 20% from 2015. And experts in the sector believe one of the key drivers behind that increase is family conflict. And with inflation at now, what, over 6%, there are concerns that maybe we might see another jump in young people without a place to call home. Jason Juretic is the CEO of Stepping Stone House, and Matthew Krishna has experienced homelessness during the pandemic. Welcome to you both. I'll start with you, Matthew. Tell me about how you came to experience homelessness during the pandemic.
Yeah, so I had a very unstable housing situation, especially during the pandemic. There were points where I was couch surfing and quite literally begging on the street. The cost of living definitely skyrocketed post-COVID. I think during COVID, we saw a lot of support, especially from state and federal governments of both persuasions, to aid homeless people. The Berejiklian government housed homeless people in temporary accommodation, but that was only during the actual period of lockdowns during COVID. But now, after COVID, we're seeing this huge rise in inflation, this huge cost of living crisis, and this huge housing crisis. And that's forcing a lot of pressure on lower income Australian families. Now, if you've got, you know, four people, a typical nuclear family, trapped in a house and they're locked down, or somebody has COVID and everybody has to lock down together, things are going to become emotionally heated and tensions are going to rise. And it doesn't really matter whether that's a family unit or that's just a couple of roommates. I guess when all those factors sort of coalesce, we start to see this huge rise in youth homelessness that we can see with the Mission Australia report.
And it's not to pry, but it's important, I think, we understand some of your lived experience in this context. Was that the situation with you? What were some of those challenges that you faced?
A lot of in-person retail establishments were closed. Places that would have otherwise catered directly to homeless people, organizations like Lentil Is Anything and Hare Krishna's Food for Life, they were, for all intents and purposes, just shut down during the pandemic. So a lot of homeless people, including myself, had to travel really far to churches and to other organizations that were willing to supply them with food and basic necessities. I think one of the most pressing, well, not pressing, but one of the biggest issues for homeless people who are directly on the street during the pandemic was the lower amount of foot traffic meant that even just begging, they weren't able to make enough money to live.
Jason, I've come to you. I've had the privilege of having a tour of Stepping Stone House. I've actually even had a meal cooked by your residents. It's a fantastic service, provides a wraparound support for young people at risk of homelessness. What sort of increase in demand have you seen for your services?
Yeah, during COVID, we saw a significant lift. In fact, a tripling in the number of requests for refuge. In effect, we were seeing 90 young people a month contacting us instead of the usual 30. So really, and also I saw I keep in touch with other leaders within our sector. We were seeing a similar scenario with youth off the streets and other refuges in within the Sydney area as well. So it wasn't just limited to Stepping Stone House. It was certainly across the sector.
It's interesting that a lot of young people might be couch surfing, and they're often not counted in any kind of surveys as experiencing homelessness. It's a sort of hidden homelessness, if you like. Does that make it harder to help them?
It certainly does. I mean, for us, we are quite proactive in terms of we are looking for young people to support, but most of the capacity that we can offer is really through reactives, where we have people contacting us, asking us for support. And of the data that we do receive, we can see that a high number of those are actually couch surfing, but it's harder for them to actually contact us, and tends to be more online inquiries.
Matthew, I believe you also have some friends who have experienced or are experiencing homelessness at the moment. How are they finding themselves in this situation? Where do things start to break down?
A lot of the tension starts in a family environment for quite a significant number of young people. Like I said, during COVID, you've got people in very close quarters with each other. Tensions are going to rise. So that's where we saw that sort of spike during COVID. But just building off of what Jason said about reactive homelessness policy, some of the good things that we saw during COVID that really helped the homelessness crisis was the proactive work of government departments and organizations that were not-for-profit that would actually go out into the street and try and help homeless people throughout the pandemic. The Department of Housing here in New South Wales did a huge part of playing that, Youth Off the Streets and obviously Stepping Stone House. But that is like a key factor in reducing that, is that proactive early intervention where we can sort of stop homelessness happening to young people or to anyone before it becomes a real issue.
Of course, Jason, the effectiveness of pandemic-era policies for providing housing to people experiencing homelessness kind of came with this strange irony. I mean, it can be done. It just needs that sort of will. And when we talk about the will, we always talk about housing first. How critical is it for young people to have a home? I mean, that solves a very big piece of the puzzle for the issues that they're experiencing.
Yeah, it's everything. Having a safe harbour, having a roof over your head is so critical to anyone, really, but even more so for children and young people. You know, they're going through that stage of their life where they're starting to form their personalities and their characters, and it's critical. You know, the Housing First is a strategy that was introduced and implemented in Finland. And within 3 years of them implementing Housing First, which means just providing unquestionably a safe roof over the head for a young person, they were able to completely eliminate youth homelessness for all young people under the age of 18. So it was a number of, it was the government plus the community that pulled together to make that happen. So the house and the Housing First strategy is critical to the well-being of young people. It gives them a sense of safety. It gives them just a place where they know they can start rebuilding their life from.
Yeah, it's incredible just what can be done if there is the will, both from the community sector and also the politicians. Jason and Matthew are here. We're talking about the worrying rise in youth homelessness on RN Drive. You're with Andy Park. Matthew, you received support from Stepping Stone House. How did they help you, and what are the key things that helped you get back on track?
Well, as Jason outlined, Housing First is a big part of Stepping Stone House's support system. Making sure that young people have a roof over their head and food on their table is that sort of first step in making sure that their needs are addressed. But they also provide a very unique model of care where we talk about trauma-informed care. A lot of the young people who are experiencing homelessness, myself included, have a lot of trauma that has to be dealt with by trained professionals. And that's what Stepping Stone House does. It provides an outlet for those young people to grow and develop and to grow through their trauma in a way that is effective and a way that they can become productive members of society.
And what about you now? I mean, are you working? Have you got a stable place to live? What's the future looking like for you?
Yeah, so I'm currently living in a social housing service. Social housing is another discussion entirely. But I'm currently living in a social housing service and I work for Services New South Wales. But like I said, you know, there's no way that that would have been able to happen without the support I received at Stepping Stone House.
Jason, you believe that youth homelessness can be eradicated, i.e. the Finland model. It sounds pretty ambitious, but also kind of achievable. What makes you optimistic? Is it the lessons learned from the pandemic or something else?
It's a combination, I think. If you look at what was achieved in COVID, we, in effect, within weeks, managed to eliminate street homelessness. So we've demonstrated it here within Sydney, New South Wales, that it's doable. So that's the first thing. It can be done. Secondly, there is a growing groundswell of support and acknowledgement of the fact that young people like Matthew, through no fault of their own, have ended up in a scenario, in a situation where they're at risk of homelessness or actually experiencing homelessness. And we are seeing a number of different strategies being introduced around the states, which are going to really reduce and, if not eliminate, youth homelessness in Australia.
How much of that, Jason, is about sort of collaboration and, you know, the idea that a lot of agencies might overlap or step over each other, trip over each other towards the same goal? How do we get state, local, federal, community to all kind of work together on the same goal here?
No, it's a good point. There are a lot of different organizations and there is a lot of overlap as well. There is, in my view, my personal view, a need for an overarching strategy to end youth homelessness in Australia. So it's a single body that drives that to make this happen. You know, without that level of laser-like focus, it's unlikely to happen. And then that body potentially could also provide that overarching a creation of the jigsaw puzzle so that they fit these different brilliant community organizations that exist out there, actually complement each other and fit into each other's services rather than overlap and doubling up on the services as well. So I think there is a need for an overarching strategy to end youth homelessness in Australia, but also for a body or organization to drive that.
Well, Jason, certainly one of those brilliant organisations would have to be yours. Appreciate your time tonight. And Matthew, great to hear that things are looking stable for you with work and somewhere to live. Great to have your thoughts as well.
Yeah, lovely to be here. Thank you.
Jason Juretic is CEO of Stepping Stone House, and Matthew Krishner is a young person who has experienced homelessness. Here on RN Drive, you're listening to Andy Park. Time now to retire to the drawing room.